Well, the scoreboard said I lost today, but what the scoreboard doesn't say is what it is I have found.
Hello and welcome back to Tennis Connected Studios for October 15th, 2018. I'm Nima Naderi alongside Parsa Sammy, and we're here this week to review the Shanghai Masters as well as look forward to the rest of the 2018 season. Before we begin this week's show, let's introduce our co-host Parsa. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing very well. How's it going?
It's going well. You know, seasons are changing. Tennis season is changing. Tennis season is almost over. And lots of stuff happening on tour for sure. We had Novak Djokovic. I mean, tennis has been funny, eh? Partially the last couple of years because now Djokovic is rolling. Last year, Federer and Nadal were rolling. And now Nadal's a bit injured and Federer is a little bit off form. And then, you know, lo and behold, Djokovic just comes in and, you know, he sweeps Wimbledon, Cincy, US, and now Shanghai. And it's just like, and this is a guy, we got to go back to this because, you know, in March, he was getting tuned by Toro Daniel and Benoit Paire in Miami and Indian Wells back-to-back. And now he's on the cusp of becoming the number one ranked player in the world, starting the year at 22, and he'll probably end up number one. We'll get into that. But if that happens, it'll be the greatest gap that a player has been able to achieve, going from that low of a ranking to number one in the world. So any thoughts on what you saw from Djokovic throughout Shanghai? Didn't lose his serve throughout the entire event. Looked very comfortable. The court surface was playing pretty like medium fast, but in relation to the, you know, the courts on tour, probably some of the fastest, and he still got it done. So what were your thoughts on that?
I mean, if everyone saw any of it, if anyone saw any of it, it was quite incredible to watch him. He was just back to Djokovic. He looked like it was a video game and getting everything back. And you would hit, as an opponent, you'd hit the ball 2 inches inside each line. And the guy is just, you know, running, getting it back, sliding, hitting winners off that ball. And how are you supposed to even compete with someone who's consistently playing at that sort of level? Mm-hmm. It just looked like ping pong to me. It was incredible.
Mm-hmm. And so what do you think? Like, in terms of his level of play right now, because you had alluded to this, you know how you were talking about kind of like you're favoring Nadal to win the U.S. Open. That didn't happen after all of those long matches he played. He had to pull out against Delpo. Djokovic cleans up. Like, are we going to see some, and we're going to get into this a little bit later on the show because I think it's worth talking about, is this guy going to have any competition for the next 12 months? Or because you got to also remember, right, he's got a tremendous amount of points now that he'll have to defend next year, Wimbledon onwards. But from January until Wimbledon, he's got basically nothing.
And it's incredible.
He might be in a position when he enters Wimbledon next year where he's going to have like 15,000 points. You know what I'm saying? It could be something crazy like that. So like who's going to stop this guy right now?
I mean, nobody. That's why he's going to start raking it in again. You know, barring any injury or anything like that, he is the best player in the world right now. The ranking doesn't say it yet, but it will eventually.
Yeah.
He will be number one in the world again. And, you know, there's just not much that can happen for anyone else. I mean, who's really going to challenge him? It's not going to be Federer. He looks very old in Shanghai. He has been looking like this, where you're not sure what you're going to get from Federer. You know, who's there? Del Potro is seemingly can't play two tournaments in a row. You know, these are high-level guys, but they're not going to have the consistency that Djokovic is going to have right now. And Nadal's back home in Mallorca, chilling on a fishing boat. You know, it's very hard to for anyone. Who's going to beat him? You know, what kind of game even beats this level of a Djokovic?
I don't know. And that's the thing for me as well, too. It's because, you know, you're watching him. He's moving well. He's serving as well as he needs to. Groundies are right there. He believes. And he's kind of, I think, you know, he's not going to say anything or nobody's going to talk about it, but he must be laughing inside it a little bit, right? He's like, okay, I'm back, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's get it going. And it's going to be fun every week. A lot of trophies, a lot of money, and a lot of, you know, good times are ahead for me, I think, because he's the outstanding favorite. And, you know, Parse, this is an amazing stat I got to read to you here because it encapsulates, you know, the Fed, Djokovic, Murray, and Nadal era. So this guy, Roger Laver on Twitter, it's the Donald Ted Cooler. That's his handle. But this is a really cool stat. It says, one of my all-time favorite stats, number of different ATP World Tour number ones in the last 5,371 days since February 1, 2004, when Federer ushered in the Big Four era. There's been four guys, okay? Number of different number ones in the same time span, 5,371 days. Before that, going back to May 1989, there's been 16 number one guys. And that spans from Lendl to Roddick, right? So you can see how competitive it was, you know what I mean, from the Lendl to Roddick era. And then Fed comes in, and then Nadal comes in, and then Djokovic comes in, and then Murray was there for a bit. And it's like, I look at this and I'm saying, okay, so there's two things, right? Are these guys that good, right? Like, we're talking best ever, 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 ever? Or are the rest of the guys not really that good? Because Safin talked about this earlier this year and late last year. Like, there's no way that, you know, Nadal and Federer should still be rolling. And now Djokovic's not that old. He's still only 31. But he's been around for a long time, man. And he's still, like, and he's kicking everybody's butt again. You know, Zverev, he's doing okay, but not really. You know, Dimitrov is pretty much a write-off. Who else we got? We got Milos, didn't really do what he was supposed to do in his career. And then the young guys are pressing, but, you know, TFO, Shapovalov, you know, Fritz, I don't know who else you want to throw in there, Khachanov. I mean, are they really going to come in and start dominating? I'm not sure, man. And it's like, you got to look at this and say, how much of it predominantly is Djokovic, Nadal, and Federer? And how much the rest of it, and those guys, they're tremendous. They're going to go down as some of the all-time greats ever, three of the best ever. And how much of it is the rest of the guys are not that good? I don't know. I mean, I think it's a heck of a good debate. Like, I would love to hear what you think about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a pretty clear debate for me. A one-sided answer here in that I think the era right now and is so high, the level is so high. I think the depth of the sport is very high.
Okay.
You know, you have just more accessibility across the world and more players and more clubs and more courts and more rackets and more balls. And I think that lends, you know, and more money, which lends to more competition.
Okay.
You know, I think at the same token, what that does do is it makes the few that are at the top that are winning all the money have access to things that others don't have. So I think the barriers to entry into the elite of the sport right now are very, very challenging. You have to be everything, basically, and you have to do it with nothing. And then when you get there, then you have everything surrounded by everything. So I think it's very, very challenging to enter. And so therefore, I think we're getting a large era of champions. And I think this cycle will continue as long as there's so much money at the top, you know. So if we see others start to have a little bit more money, I think we'll start to have a little bit more diversity in the top level of the game, and I think we'll see different things happening. But that's my take on it. I feel like the competition is at an all-time high.
Yes.
And, you know, it may not be as interesting to watch, but there's more people that play that same style of play, that they're gritty and grindy from the back of the court, and you have to keep a certain number of balls in play. And so it's very challenging in the style of play because it can be a little bit monotonous, but at the same time, it's a lot of evenness that's happening. And so anything can happen on a given day. And, you know, the great players are shining and are forced to show that they're great players every single match. And, you know, not that it wasn't like that before, but I think it was like that from, you know, the semis or the quarters on in the past. And now it's pretty much, you know, from the first round on, you're vulnerable. And so you have to play, just like you saw with Nadal this year at the U.S. Open. You know, he really took a beating because he had a draw that the players are tough. They weren't going to lie down and just roll over. And so they made it difficult, and he ended up having to pull out against Topa.
But so now this is my question. So Nadal's coming up at 19, right? He's this phenom guy with the biceps and the vamoses and everything. At that point, it's not like this guy's a multi-millionaire, right? He's obviously going to go down as the best clay court player ever when you fast forward 10 to 12 years. But he had what it takes. He had what it took back then, right? Do we see anybody coming up right now that can do that? I'm not sure, man. I mean, they're not. I mean, obviously, I think Dennis is a great player. I think Felix is going to be good. I think TFO is going to be good. But like, you got to also ask yourself, you know, with Federer definitely, I think, fading, Nadal will still be around for sure. Djokovic looks better than ever. Murray, I'm really not sure about at all. I think Stan will be all right. I think Cilic will be all right. Delpo, I think, will still have a say here and there. But, I mean, like, what's going to happen in, like, 2-3 years from now? Are we going to see Taylor Fritz winning, you know, 5 majors in 3 years? I'm not sure. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to say, like, some of it comes down to, I think you're right. Because, like, one of my friends on tour, Peter Polanski, right? The guy's hovered between, you know, about $110 and about $130-140 for the last 5 or 6 years. He hasn't been able to break that barrier. He doesn't have a coach, doesn't have a physio, doesn't, frankly, has not a lot of money, and he's in terms of his winnings, and he's got out there and he just does it himself. He keeps grinding. He qualified actually for Stockholm just today, so that's great for him. But it's, and he's had a great year because he's got that lucky losers into all four slams, made a couple hundred grand just off of that. But that's not going to happen every year, right? And it's like he doesn't have any accessibility to what Federer has and Djokovic has and Nadal has. But you can also say that those guys were good enough to also get to that plateau, right? To that level. And he's not. So it's kind of to me like, yes, you will get there. But I think if you are good enough, you will, you know, you got to work your way up to that, right? And then once you're there, then you get the hyper chambers and, you know, all two, three physios, best food, best, you know, like private jet so you can relax. All of these things happen, but you got to have the talent to get to that point. But then maybe the other side of the argument is, well, okay, now that you have 3 or 4 guys who are already there, you can't break that barrier because they have everything at their disposal and they're super talented and they're very experienced. But I mean, I just think that as good as Nadal, Djokovic, and Federer are, I really don't think that Milos, Dimitrov, Nishikori, you know, era was that good. And I'm kind of relatively skeptical to the next generation, actually what is called the next gen right now. I'm not saying I don't think they're going to be really good, but I'm not sure how dominant that's going to be. Or I think it's going to be a little bit more of an even playing field. You're not going to have 3 or 4 guys who are going to win, you know, multiple Grand Slams, like over 10. You know, you might have Zverev with 4, maybe Dennis with 2, maybe, I don't know, a couple other guys with maybe 1 or 2, something like that. And it's just going to keep going back and forth, which is not necessarily bad for the sport, right? But I think that I would definitely say that as good as all of these guys are, I think that the lack of, I mean, I definitely think it's not easy to be a pro, as we know that, but it's, I think that they're not, the overall level is not as good as it could be. I think the rest of the guys on the ATP, I think they definitely need to step it up. And they are, I mean, I know George beat Federer this week and stuff like that. But I don't know. I mean, those are just some of the thoughts that I've had, you know, throughout Shanghai. Maybe it's off season, like relatively after US Open, I've been thinking about that. But I'm not sure, man. I feel that the other guys definitely need to step it up. You have any closing thoughts on Shanghai? I mean, Fed went out to Chorich. What do you think of that match? Borna's had a good year, you know. What'd you think of Fed going forward now? I think he's going to play Basel, Paris, and World Tour Finals.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's going to do what he does. And if he can catch fire for that week, he has a chance to win it like anyone else.
Yeah.
Korch has now beat him twice.
Yes.
You know, you look at the age difference and you look at the youngness of Korch, and Federer's just getting out physical. So Father Time is definitely catching up. The young guys are able to, although not nearly as smart as him on the court, mm-hmm. they're able to out physical him. And that's a big deal. So Federer's days are coming to an end, you know, but he's still the kind of talent that can get hot for a week and can see the ball big and can disrupt a lot of players. So I still look for Federer maybe to even get on into the hold the winning trophy at one of these tournaments coming up. But I don't expect any sort of dominance or anything like that.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with you. It's just he looked a little bit old, man, in Shanghai. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't play that well, but again, like, the guy's 37 now, right? Like, how much? And he hasn't won a tournament since, what was it, Stuttgart, which was a very easy draw. And then he lost to Anderson, he's lost to Djokovic, he lost to Millman, and now he's lost to Cioric. So, and Cioric also beat him in the Halle final. So, I mean, he hasn't won a tournament in Uniqlo. So that, I don't know if that's a bad omen for him, but I think is, you know, the bank account's feeling pretty good. And so we'll see what happens. I mean, I think it's going to be interesting because, again, Djokovic has no points to defend. Fed's got a few. Nadal's got about 180. So, I mean, when we're looking at it right now, you know, one of our staff writers, Charles, wrote an article, is Djokovic finishing number one this year, foregone conclusion. And before we get into the women's a little bit, do you think that's pretty much it? Do you think that that Djokovic is going to finish number one this year?
I mean, for sure, it's impossible for him not to.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. You know, I mean, he could get hurt, I guess, and not get the right points. But if he's healthy and he's playing, he's going to win, I would say, almost everything he plays.
Yeah, and he's got, and if we're just going right now, Nadal's got 7,660 points. Parsa Djokovic, 7,445.
That's for sure.
100%. Because if Nadal somehow doesn't play, he's done. And Djokovic, 100%. Federer now doesn't look like he's got a chance. Because he's going to probably have to win Basel, Paris, and go really deep in London. I think he maybe does well in maybe one of those two, one of those three. But Nadal could surprise us. I mean, if he comes into Paris and he just equals Djokovic, or he just is right there, then he could maybe do something. But I think, World Tour Finals, he has no points to defend. So he's going to be looking to definitely do some stuff there. And, I mean, we'll see what happens. But it's going to be a nice, interesting, I think, end to the season in that capacity. And, I mean, Djokovic will deserve all of the praise in the world if he can finish this year number one, because he did not look like that back in March. Okay, Parsa, so before we end off this week's show, talk quickly just on the women here. So we got the World Tour Finals coming up. I believe they have 6 of the 8 finalists for Singapore lockdown. Halep will finish number one again in this year. We'll talk a little bit about her in a second. We got Wozniacki, who just won a big tournament at the China Open. We got Kerber, Osaka, reigning U.S. Open winner, Pliskova, hard-hitting serve. We got, and Svitolina. So it looks like maybe Kvitova and Sloane will probably get in there just based on what I'm seeing with the points. But that's going to be, I think, a good tournament as well, too, on the ladies' side. Beautiful place to have a tennis event in Singapore. I mean, they got the weather, they got the glitz and glamour, they got everything going. But what do you think, Parsa, about Halep finishing number one this year? I mean, obviously, she did what she needed to do. She won her maiden Grand Slam in Paris, made the finals of the Australian Open. But was it, as an overall, for you, does she look like a dominant number one player?
I mean, a dominant number one? I think we're spoiled by what we see on the men's side in terms of dominant. You mm-hmm. know, we've gone through these weird eras on the men's side.
Yes.
And where, you know, one guy is in form and just like Djokovic is doing right now. Previously was Nadal. Previous to that was Federer. Previous to that was Andy Murray. And they just take turns going through this dominance. You know, it's a different style of a number one on the women's side. You know, she's accrued the most points and is the most consistent through the year, so therefore she's the number one. But she's not a dominant number one by any stretch, and I think that's what is the difference. Does she feel like a number one? I mean, maybe not, not compared to what we feel on the men's side, but she is the number one. You know, she is the most consistent, and the rankings don't lie. She's entered the tournaments, she's played the tournaments, and she's done well at all the tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
So she's the number one, but just definitely doesn't have that dominant feel.
Yeah, and then you look at Serena at 17 in the world, and to me, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with her next year, because she wasn't able to, you know, lock down a major this year, which will definitely be disappointing for her, even though it was a remarkable comeback story that she had, and then the controversy in New York, and she won't probably play another event until Australia, maybe a warm-up, maybe probably not even. That's not really how she likes to do it. She'll show up in Australia, see what she does there. But that's going to be an interesting storyline for me next year, because you have the most dominant women's player ever who is still playing pretty good ball even at the latter stages of her career, even after getting married, even after having a child. But is she good enough to get over that hump and beat some of the younger players in her way? And I think that's going to be her challenge next year. But I think the women's tour, from an excitement level, I think would really be elevated if Serena can maybe win a major or two next year. I think that would be really cool if she could get to maybe 24, 25. That's definitely what I would be looking forward to. But we'll see how it goes. I mean, it's not easy. It doesn't get, every year goes by, it gets harder and harder. And, you know, as we know, we all know that, right? So I think that's pretty much about it for us this week, Parsa. So just a quick note here. So Parsa and I will be back in about a month's time. Reason for that is because I'm going to be traveling. I'm the tournament director for a few events for the Caribbean Cup Series. So I'm going to be heading to Barbados later this week. And then I got St. Vincent, Anguilla, and Antigua. So it's just a really cool opportunity for me. So I encourage everybody to follow on Tennis Connected, as well as my new account on Mars. So if you really want to see what that's all about, make sure to hit that up. We got some cool exos as well happening, Parsa. We got Nestor and Melise first up. And then we have, I believe, Philippoussis is coming out to a couple events as well too. So it's going to be some great players, good weather, and just an overall good vibe. So I'm looking forward to those ITF events. And then Parsa and I will be back to wrap up the World Tour Finals. And then we'll have one more show before the end of the year to just give our thoughts on the 2018 season. Before we say goodbye, everybody out there, make sure to hit up Grand Slam Tennis Tour for all your ticket and traveling needs for the upcoming Australian Open. For everybody out there, make sure to hit Parsa up on Instagram. Twitter is a great follow. And Parsa, thank you very much for joining us today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Bon voyage, my friend.
Yes, thank you very much. And as well, everybody out there, make sure to download the podcast on iPhone or Android. And we'll speak with you in about a month's time. Be good and talk soon.